Chapter number 14, and we'll be turning to John a little bit later. And if you have something, we'll start there, but then turn, if you would, to save time a little bit and go to Genesis chapter 19, and we'll be there reading several scriptures tonight. For the tape room, for everyone here, I'll just give a title to the message tonight: Salty Christians. Salty Christians. Now, I know that in our day and age, you know, salt is something that when we go to Sonny's, and Pastor Carter and I go there and sit down with him, and he'll be talking to people, and that I enjoy being there with him. And I know he doesn't like the hot sauces. He doesn't like the sizzling, you know. He likes the sweet stuff. Amen. And that's a man after my own heart. Amen. So I make sure I put the sweet bottle near him, because I know that's what he's going to ask me for. And before he can say, "Is that sweet?" I go, "Yes, sir, that's sweet." Amen. Because I know what he's going to ask. I know he's going to make sure that that's the sweet one. And I take the salt and the pepper, and I set it near him. Because it don't matter if it's good or not. He's putting salt and pepper on that thing. That's a man after my own heart, too. I'm going to shake a little bit more on both of them before I even try it, because I just don't want a mouthful of something that ain't been seasoned. Amen? And I'll take the risk of over-seasoning it. You say, "Oh, you do that at home?" When my wife's not looking, I do that. Amen. And we can fun around with that a little bit. Here in Luke chapter number 14, there's going to be a contrast. In our day and age, you know, the formal definition of the word salt is going to be a seasoning. It's going to be something that is going to, it's a purifier. It's something that is going to be, I mean, for us, it's a great, good thing. It's something that we need. It's something that we want on our, not only on our food, but it's something that even in the fields, as a somebody who used to work in you know, agriculture industry, it's something when you're putting corn in the ground, you're putting salt on the ground too. And not necessarily table salt, but come on now, you know, it's a form of rock salt, and they put it out on the field to be able to enhance the growth of a product. And so here we're going to see the Bible has a few different things to say about salt, but the Lord Jesus in Luke 14 is going to make a statement, and he's speaking here in Luke 14 about much that has got, I mean, there's so much in the chapter, and he's going to talk about so many different things, the lost sheep. He's going to talk about a lot of stuff, but he's going to make a statement at the end of the chapter about salt. And I want to read it to you, but I believe we ought to pray and just ask the Lord to bless the message and use his messenger tonight before we get started. Let's pray together. Dear God, I do come to you tonight. I do, again, humble myself before you, God. I ask you again, Lord, I want to be used of you tonight. Lord, I don't want to use my lips. I want you to use my lips. Help me, Lord, I surrender the best way I know how, Lord. I pray that you would use me to be your messenger boy, that, Lord, the message that you've given and put burdened upon my heart for your people tonight, Lord, would be the message that you've ordained, God. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would do a work that I can't do, Lord, and use your word to go into the hearts of the hearers and change us, Lord. Help us not to come in and leave the same as when we came. Help us to grow closer to you from the message. Help us to take something with us tonight. Change us, Lord, to be more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, I pray more than anything tonight, Lord, if there's one that's in the building that does not know you as Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. And tonight would be the night of salvation, that you draw them to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Luke number chapter 14 and verse number 34, we'll just read a couple verses here. It says, "Salt is good, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath an ears to hear, let him hear." Now, Jesus is saying here that salt is good. Salt is so good. And I'm not going to try to develop so much of the message, but you know, and you've heard messages about being a salty Christian. Somebody ought not be able to get around you without being seasoned with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. They ought not be able to get near a good Christian brother or sister, that your attitude of being blessed by Almighty God, that I'm not going to hell, I'm on my way to heaven, that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They ought not be able to get, my speech should betray me of whose I am, that I'm bought with a price. We preached on it this morning. I'll echo it over and over again. We need to come to a place where people get around us and they say, the salt is good. I can't help but speak of them. My speech betrays me. Just the other day I was up, and not that, because everybody, people have been talking to me here lately and telling me about how my face isn't, I'm not the pastor on the internet. Well, I said, I'm not trying to pastor the internet. I'm trying to pastor the Landmark Baptist Church. Amen. And so I do realize, there's work to be done and all those things, and trying to get my face on tracks and other things like that. But I just figured if pastor was here for 50 years, I could take a little while to make a transition. All right. Amen. And I'm preaching in here, but it's all right. And some people make their way in and they don't see him and they're disappointed, and I don't blame them. Amen. But I'd rather hear him preach too. Amen. I just want you to know that tonight, listen, the salt is good. Do you know this book is good? It don't matter who preaches it. Do you know it ought to come to a place that even I've heard of lost preachers preaching the gospel and getting saved under their own preaching, because God will use his word. But how much better is if a pure vessel preaches the word? How about if somebody with a clean vessel that sanctify it for the Lord gets up and preaches God's word, and not only what his speech is good and the words that's coming out of him good, but his life, his fruit that's in his life can be seen, that it's changed him from the inside out, that it's not double talk or double speech, but his life lives up to what he's preaching. Isn't that something when you see that? Isn't that a better testimony? And as I look out across the crowd tonight, there are a bunch of people that are moving into our area that desperately need people to be good salt all over the place, everywhere you go, in your workplace, on your bus route, in this corner store, everywhere you go. I went up to the corner store, I began to tell you this story, and I was getting my daughter a Sub because she loves Subway. The lady was testifying to me about how that, she was saying, when she told me about when my daughter would stop liking Subway, because in these 7th, 8th, and 9th grade years, they really like Subway, but somewhere in the middle, it changes to something else, she told me, and they don't want it anymore. And I was like, amen. I didn't know this about Subway, but someone should ask her, because they need to target their market in the 7th and 9th grade area. And so anyway, marketing director needs to hear about this, right? And Subway, you can send me the check. Anyway, but while I'm in there, I kept saying, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. She said, I'll put a little bit more cheese on there for you. Praise the Lord. And then, it wasn't long before, it was, again, I've been in the town for a while, and she knew who I was, but the young man next to her didn't know that. And she was like, you don't know who this is? Can't you hear from his mouth? That's God's man. Hey, I just want you to know, we ought, every one of us, if we're born again Christians, people ought to know it. You don't just have to be the preacher and show up with a tie and somebody go, who are you? Listen, I get mistaken for the Walmart manager more than I do for a preacher when I'm in here, okay? All right. I don't know where they put that stuff, but I think it's down that way. And, I try to help people all I can. I want to help them to get where they want to go, but more than anything else, I want to be good salt, and I want people to find their way to Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we can do all different things in all kinds of walks of life, but our main focus, who we are, ought to reflect whose we are, and we ought to be good salt. In our lives, sometimes if we let sin get in, it'll lose its savor. It won't do the same thing. It says, wherewith shall it be seasoned? If the Landmark Baptist Church dries up and the gospel here doesn't go out, who's going to season Haines City? Who's going to season this area? If the people sitting in these pews don't turn into good salt and go out and pass it on to other people, then how in the world is the world going to come to Christ? It's not. Hey, folks, I'm just trying to tell you the bare bones of it. He says it is neither. Once salt goes bad, it's neither fit for the land I told you that the most use I've ever seen of salt, I can remember working in agriculture and bringing it in by train load and trying to break the door open. And you know, an uppity company has one of them things they plug in there. It's like a big old jack wrench and boom, until it finally breaks the door. We didn't have one of those. We were a Mickey Mouse rig, amen? We had a big old piece of bar, and we put a piece of pipe on the end of that bar, and then three of us stood on top of it and bounced. And then we say, come on, John boy, get on with us too. We ain't got enough leverage, amen? I think that's leverage, but we didn't have enough of whatever it was until we bounced enough to, so anyway, you'd hear it go, and it'd turn loose, and man, that whole train car, that little tiny one-inch slot, it'd just, man, it'd come out of there like you wouldn't believe. You say, well, what'd they do that for? They just spread it all over the field because the land needs the salt. As much as it needs lime, some land needs salt. Listen, our land needs salt. Our land needs resalted. We are now one of the greatest mission fields on planet Earth, not just Florida. I thank God for the free state. All right. I thank God, you know, the man that comes on Sunday morning who's from Great Britain, he was standing in the back and he took the flyer from the men's retreat. And he said, preacher, I want you to know I'm taking this back to my pastor in the UK because he'll never believe that they had a thing where you could take pistols and shotguns and throw hatchets and fish all at the same place. And they preached the book. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, that's a blessing. We oftentimes lose and forget how blessed we truly are. But it doesn't mean that people everywhere around us don't need to be salted. The land still needs to be salted. America desperately needs to be salted. I know I can go back as a young man. I remember what it was like in my town and how they built a brand new church and they got after people and people came to Christ. And we're not so far down the road. If Jesus tarries his coming, that we ought not be able to do the same thing. He's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The difference is the Americans aren't the same as they used to be. Our will to get after people and to salt everything around us isn't the same as it was. Do you know that in the 70s, people were getting saved, and that was the best thing they had ever heard. And if we're not careful, generationally, we say, yeah, I heard that before, preacher. I know it needs to be salted, but that's for somebody else. Do you know what I noticed when I started saying amen to the preacher and I got excited about it? He called me. I said, God, send somebody. I remember praying and laying in bed next to my wife after I talked to my friend. And I said, God, send a man to Haines City that'll love Pastor Carter like I love him. That'll raise his hands up like I'll raise his hands up. You send somebody that'll love him like I love him and take care of him and serve him like I would. Whoever that man is, if it be me, you have him call me, but you send Dr. Carter a man. You know what he did? He called me the next day. I just wanted God to send a man. You say, is that how it works? Usually that's how it works. You know what will happen when you come to the preacher and say, preacher, over here in Arbondale, there's places, they need a bus route. You know what the preacher's going to say? You going to start it? I'll send you. Hey, this area needs this and this area needs that. Yeah, are you willing to go? The church is behind you. We need good salt over there. I agree. So many times, it's here am I, Lord, send him. Here am I, Lord, send somebody else. I'm just going to tell you today, listen, I'm blessed to be in these United States, in the most free state in all the world. But I realize that the reason that the country is not salted is because we're not salting it. The Christians that we currently have, we don't broadcast like we used to. A radio station, say, well, radio stations broadcast, it can't do all the work. Some people won't tune into the station. Some people don't know where to find it on the dial. Sometimes, just like others, there are people that joined this morning that told me, preacher, it was because there was a door hanger on my door that I found out about your church. You know, I sat with folks today and they said, that still works. It still works, folks. When you go to the door and you say, here's some salt for you. I want to tell you about the person that changed my world. I'd be lost and on my way to a devil's hell if somebody hadn't knocked on my door. Amen. Hey, folks, I could give you my testimony again, but I'm just here to tell you, if the salt is not got, if it's not seasoned, if it's gone bad, it isn't worth the land. You can't even put it on the land. I believe if we're not careful, we're not going to be a, you know, this church is not a Laodicean church. It's a church that's a Philadelphian age church. We're still after people. We're still trying to hold the fort until Jesus comes and get out and tell everybody about Jesus. But not every church is like this church. And the only way we're going to have churches like this church is if good men and their wives will take their babies and decide that God has called them to go out from this place and take the salt to the rest of this world. You say, preacher, you trying to preach people out of the church? No, I'm trying to preach salt out on the land. Amen. I'm trying to do what God told you to do. Amen. Amen? Sometimes what we desperately need is a good kick in the pants to be the salt that we ought to be. You say, how do I start, preacher? You start out by being salt where you are. Take the knowledge that you have. Get in the book. Get refined on your soul winning technique. Get yourself a pocket full of tracts and get out on the street and tell the people that you know. Get out on the street and say, you say, I saw a man standing on the street corner screaming at cars on the way by. I mean, he was letting them cars have it. I don't know if any of them cars got saved. And I don't think electric cars can get saved. But they were just preaching as hard as they could to everything that went by. And you say, well, did that do any good? I don't know if it did any good. But if that's what God told you to do, you ought to go stand on a street corner. Just stand and be a billboard for Jesus Christ. Amen. Saying, Jesus saves. Trying to salt the world. If he told you to go knock doors and pass out tracts. If he told you to mail a tract into everybody that you pay a bill to. Send it to everybody. You don't know what God will do with that tract. You say, well, I can't knock doors like I used to, preacher. Well, find some way to get the gospel to people. Find some way to be involved. And for some of us that are young enough, and I don't think any of us is too old for God to use, some of us need to go where God sends us to. He says the salt. It's not even, he says, not fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath an ear, look, ears to hear, let him hear. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes we turn our hearing aids off when the preacher gets preaching like this. Like, that ain't for me. And please don't get upset with me tonight. But I'm telling you, you know, you're turning it off too if you say, well, I used to do that. You know, the salt that's not fit for the land is people too that I used to do. You know? You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? I'm just saying, there's some things you used to do that you can't do now because physically you can't do it. But you can pray for those that do. Stop looking at what you can't do for the Lord and look at what you can do for him. Amen. Start looking for places to serve him. I can't do everything that I used to do. I'm getting older all the time and feel older all the time. And I realize days are coming. And so I want to make use of every day that I still can do because there's coming a day. But you know what? I'm making plans for the things. There's going to be days I may be holed up in some places. But I want to be ready for those days too to still be salt. I still want to be clicking ahead. I still want to be going for Jesus Christ. I still want to, I don't care if I end up having to pen things down that'll go on or I've had to mail them out. I don't care if I'm just a stamp licker in the area of the church. I lick all the stamps as they go by. They say, we have water things for that. Don't mess up my plans for when I get old. Amen. I just want to do something for Jesus. Amen. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. We all ought to have that. We need good salt. But you know what happens? That we don't just have salt that's good, but we also have salt that's bad. In our day and age, they've taken the word salt and that word salty, and they've changed the definition or made a new one. And that happens every day. I mean, if you keep up with it, you know, they'll change everything before long. But salty is also used for people's emotions or their attitude. You know, we need people to be good salt, but we don't need folks to be bad salt. We don't need them to get salty with other people. That salty today is used informally as a feeling or a showing of resentment towards a person or a situation. All right, I see too many times people, instead of being salty in a good way and trying to glorify God, and listen, I'm going to tell you know what I learned from Pastor Carter and some other men around here? Sometimes when something happens and I can't say anything good, I'll say praise the Lord. I'll say glory to God. I'll say amen. And there's too many guys that know. I've walked in where the men are working and something don't look right in there, or something's broke, and they all got that look like, man, the preacher just showed up. And they'll say, preacher, we tried to do this and this broke on us. And I'll just go, amen. Or I'll say, praise the Lord. You say you're disingenuous. Well, it's better than ripping on them like other people do. I'm trying to do my best to guard my tongue. There's nothing like going into a place and somebody have an attitude and showing that they're a salty Christian and not good salt. Yeah, right. That they have resentment for a brother in Christ. That they have, you say, well, I just hate their sin. I just hate what they're doing. Okay, keep telling yourself that.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? Right. Just keep telling yourself that. Now, I know that we see things all around us that we hate, and we're supposed to hate sin. The Bible tells us that. We're going to turn to it tonight, but I just want you to get straight and understand tonight that when we get to the place, when we're living in a place where we are a salty Christian in a bad way, we're living in feelings and emotion, not led by the Spirit. We are completely bound up and following the flesh. You say, well, what about Jesus when he got mad with those that were selling money, the money changers? I've never seen one of them here at the church yet. Jesus wove a whip and he drove them out. I've not seen anybody trying to extort somebody in the back of the church. One time I saw somebody that was back there that was trying to bum money off of somebody, and he did it more than once. And I watched my pastor, like the good shepherd, go back and crack that dude over the head. Now, he didn't literally hit him, okay? But he told him, listen, you're not welcome to do that here. If you need something or you need money, you ought to come by and see me and let the church handle that. There are some things that do need to be handled, but the best place you can go is to find someone in leadership around the church to handle it and not get salty with your brother in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Here in Genesis chapter 19, I'm going to read in a hurry. I've taken some time already to lay the foundation, but we find a bad, salty Christian here. We find Lot and his wife here, and they're leaving Sodom. God has tried to tell Abraham. Abraham's begged for the souls in Sodom, and he thought for sure that there was going to be 50 souls, but there wasn't. And he worked his way down, and all of a sudden, God's like, there's not that many righteous. I'm going to destroy the city. I'm going to rain fire and brimstone upon it. I want you to look, and I want to read some of it. Look at verse 14. And Lot went out. The men went in, and they're dragging Lot out. Lot is going to try to go to some people. I want you to see this. So Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hands, and upon his hands, the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I just want just a little bit of time I want to talk to you about. You say, well, preacher, you've been talking about good salt and bad salt. This is the bad kind of salt. When your salt settles down and gets hard, you're in trouble. Sometimes this good salt that we can spread oftentimes is when we're on the move. Or at least when God's on the move through us. Sometimes that can be through prayer. That can be through His Word. That can be through all kinds of different means. But we find Lot here and his wife. And they're in this city and we know the story and God's going to destroy it. We don't have time to go back and retell everything. But we know this. The fall of Lot came when Lot chose to pitch his tent near Sodom. You know, every family, every people group, anybody that's ever, when we dabble with sin and we get near it is when we're in trouble. When we pitch our tent next to something that we don't have any business messing with is when we get in trouble and begins our backward or at least our backsliding to a place where we may never recover. Our salt may harden while we're out of God's will and out of God's way. He pitched near Sodom. He took a position. Think about the fall and how he goes away. He took a position at the gate. He wasn't all the way in. He was pitched outside with all his herds, but he was a rich guy. And he seemed kind of wise because, man, he knew the word of God. He knew who God was. He knew how to worship. He had a good witness. He seemed to have wisdom. And he took a position at the gate of Sodom. Do you know what? After he took a position, then he built himself a place in Sodom. Yeah. Then he parked. Think about this. After he built a place in Sodom, that is when Lot parked his worship for God, because it didn't work well inside of Sodom. And then he parked his witness for God. Because our worshiping God, listen, you don't think it's a witness when you pull out of your driveway and come to this place every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. That is a big witness to your faithfulness to the Lord. Oftentimes when people ask you, well, you know, man, why don't you got that big boat in the driveway? Because the money that I'd spend on my boat, I give to the Lord. I give to the radio station. We could list all these different things. I give to the Christian school so my kids can be in a Christian school. We could go down the list of things that we seem like sometimes to the world, they seem like sacrifices. But to us, it's just a wise investment. Amen. He parked his worship. He parked his witness. And then, you know what else? Because he parked those two things, he parked his wisdom. Because when you park your worship, you stop thinking right. When you park your witness, you stop thinking right. Think about this, all right? I'm just going to tell you, a salty Christian is always going to get caught looking back. Always. Always going to get caught looking back. You could go all the way through the Old Testament and even in the New, and you can watch the people instead of going on for God and having good salt, they're always looking back to Egypt. They're always looking back to the world. They're always complaining about what they don't have instead of what blessings God has already given them. We live in a world that is so prone for that. As soon as gas goes up 1 inch, we're ready to kill somebody. But listen, I'm just going to tell you, say, well, what are you saying, preacher? Listen, I'm not for gas rising either, but that is not the plague on the world. The plague on the world is sin, and people are lost and dying, going to hell. And too many times our conversations when we're out among people is the price of gas and how money is shot up and the price of houses instead of where are you going to go when you die. Amen and amen. Too many times our conversation doesn't portray us. We're still worried about the things that our Father already knows that we have need of. And He's taking care of it. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, I want you to see this. When we look back and we take a look backwards on the world, this isn't something new. This is something you know about. This is something you've read before. In 1 John chapter 2, we realize here that the Bible is going to tell us something. He's going to tell us, love not the world in verse 15. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I just want you to understand, folks, even for us, you say, well, I'm going to live forever. But again, these three things, where we get hooked up, what makes us look back? What do we get so full of that we've got to go? We're supposed to be pilgrims and strangers in this land. We're supposed to be passing through because our home is in another place. And too often times we get looking back. When God moves us or is moving in our life, if we're not careful, think about this. The mercy of God laid hold on Lot and his family to draw them out of a wicked place, a place that, I mean, a vile place that God was about to destroy, and God wanted to draw him out. You know, I'm not sure that if we're not careful, you know, the Laodicean church, that's a good picture of the Laodicean church. People that are saved, then they're going to have to be grabbed by the hand and drug out of this place in the rapture. And all the time, they're going to be looking back on the fleshly lust and the things and pride of life and all the things they're leaving behind. Some of them may not even listen. I'm just going to tell you, there's a bunch of people that are in churches that are lost as a goose in our day and age, in this Laodicean age, because they think they're saved. According to what Jesus says in Revelations, he says they think themselves rich, but they're poor. And they need the buy of him. You know what? I'm just going to tell you today, we need to come to a place where we don't start looking back. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, too many people are looking back because they're looking back for the things that are on their eyes or the things that their flesh can have, or even this. What about pride of life? Do you know, I'm not silly. I want you to just see this. There's some things here I think. Lot, and I'll finish with some of these things and we'll run some scripture. But, you know, Lot's wife looks back. Lot is focused on getting his people out. God commands them not to look back. And while they're being drug out by the high hands, Lot is looking forward and leading his people out, at least the ones that went with him. Because when his worship and his witness went, he left daughters behind in Sodom. He lost son-in-laws behind in Sodom because he wasn't a witness to them. And when he was finally bold enough to try to help them escape the fire, they laughed at him. Because they had never heard about his God. They never saw him worship him one iota. It was much like the days of Noah. When Noah preached and preached and preached, but people didn't understand. They didn't believe him. They had never seen a flood. They never even seen a boat. Hey, Lot, all the time. Can you imagine the difference between Lot leading? He's thinking, I'm leading my people out. And his wife turns and looks back because of the pride of life. Those are my babies back there. Her heart is broken for the things she's leaving back there. They're her everything. Think it. He's looking to the people he's leading out into the future, and she's looking back to the people that she's left behind. I'd say this, number two, turn with me to 1 Peter. Think about what's being left behind. I mean, that's a good proof text for our pilgrims. We ought to be pilgrims. There, can you imagine? I know how my wife likes to keep house and how she wants her home to be. Can you imagine somebody leaving behind their home and all the things that they've invested themselves in and all that? That woman was going, man, we just got the house the way we wanted it. Everything that was there, the paint was just the way it was. The shingles were I had the flower beds just right. The roses were growing like I wanted them to do. And all the time, God was trying to draw them out of the place to save their life, to keep them in his will, to keep them good and salty in a good way. And God's trying to draw them out, give them mercy and a second chance. And all the time she's looking back. 1 Peter, if you would, chapter number 2, and look with me. I'll just read a couple of verses. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Do you know that I believe every man is going to give up. There's a day that the Holy Spirit draws. If it's God's will that every man be saved, then sometime, even if it's just like Pastor when he talked about being a boy in Georgia and looking up at the sky and realizing that somebody, God Almighty, somebody up in the heavens made all this. It didn't just happen. God is going to visit every man. And, you know, for us as good salt, I would like to couple. You know, God draws men. I remember, you know, I don't know about you, but I remember in the scripture where the Ethiopian eunuch is riding along. He's been up there and he's been worshiping the Messiah, but he didn't realize the Messiah had came. He had reading in the Old Testament about the Messiah, but he didn't know because nobody explained it to him. And God in his will and providence drew a man in that man's day of visitation. And he drew him close to the chariot. And he says, "Hey, brother, what you reading?" He said, "Come up here. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "Not unless somebody explains it to me." Hey, can I just tell you, that was good salt that day, wasn't it? Following God's will and being where God is visiting somebody. And at the very scripture where he read, he began to preach Jesus unto him. We have so many great opportunities in this life when we just happen upon a situation to be able to be somebody's day of visitation if we're good and salty. But too often, we're so focused on the fleshly lust of this world and the lust of the eyes and the pride of our life, we're salty in a bad way. And when somebody's day of visitation comes and goes because we're not the witness that we ought to be. You say, "I believe in a sovereign God." I do too. I believe that God gives the gospel over and over and over again. You say, "Well, I won't stand." No, I think the Bible clearly teaches there'll be people that in somebody's day of visitation miss their opportunity because they were salty and not the right way, and they will stand with blood on their hands because they were not the witness that they should have been at the great white throne judgment. Too many times we preach the things that make us all happy, but too many times we miss the fact that someday if we're not the witness that we ought to be, somebody is going to be on our record and not in a good way. And their blood's going to be on our hands because we just went on about our day. We were worried about ourselves instead of being the good salt that God left us here to be. He goes on to say that I think number two, Lot, he not only, think about this, Lot was going out in the fear of the Lord. He knew how terrible a God he was. He knew what was about to be rained down on that place. He knew who God was. I bet his wife, listen, she had been in Sodom so long, while Lot looked forward in the fear of the Lord to his God, his wife was looking back to her gods. You know, sometimes in this life, we can make our cars, our house, our family. We can make so many things in this life our God. Some people make their home, that education is their God. They drive their children so much to education, they drive them away from God's will. And they wonder why their family ends up in some place where, why is my kid here? There's nothing wrong with education, but education without the basic knowledge of Jesus Christ coupled with the fear of the Lord is just knowing something. It's not true wisdom. And too many times, the God of America, which has gotten us to this point in our nation where we need to be salted, is the God of education. Amen and amen. I know it's not popular, but I'll amen myself if I have to. Why? Because we want to educate. We've got to be educated. Why? Because the world says so. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Too many times we sell ourselves short. I've had parents as a youth pastor tell me, "Well, I just want them to get something to fall back on." Like God is not able to take care of your child. I just want them to have something in case they get destitute. You know, and they, you know, it doesn't, and this church thing doesn't work out. That sounds like bad salt to me. How about say, "I'm with you, son. I'm behind you. You call me if you need anything. I'm behind you, daughter. You go for God. You do what God wants you to do in your life. Let God use you." And you say, "Well, that don't pay the bills." God pays the bills.
Amen.
God can take care of every need the Christian has if we will follow and listen in faith to his word and his will. He is not destitute, and nobody has ever had to lend God anything. He can take care of his people. He can take care of those that serve him. And looking back is still a bad testimony on a Christian when God is leading us out into another place or to what he's having us to do. We ought to keep our focus on him. Too many times we get salty. We get bad, emotional, and full of the wrong things because we're constantly looking back. Looking back is a good way to backslide. Yeah. Lastly, I'll say this. His focus was on eternal things and the future. And hers was in the present, in the nasty now and now of what was happening. She was so concerned with what had already been decided in judgment, she missed that God had already given mercy and blessings. Do you know sometimes people get their focus? Salty Christians look at the things that happen now. Listen, folks, you know, serving God doesn't keep us. When you get saved, it don't get rid of all the scars. Jacob served God all his life, but he still halted on the same leg that had been impressed while he wrestled with God. And too many times, we as believers, when God has saved us and loves us, and he, in some ways, because he was trying to get our attention, may have crippled us, trying to get us to come to him and walk with him, we think God ought to take that off of us. God ought to just take it away. No, a lot of times those are the things that we walk along, walking with a little limp like Jacob. And you know what everybody says? Oh, Grandpa, how'd you get that limp? Let me tell you about it, son. It was a day I wrestled with God. Hey, how about you? What you been wrestling with God about? What you been coming to a place in your life and you hang on way too long? And I don't believe anybody in here may be living in a bad place as Sodom. But any place that is outside of God's will is Sodom. It's a place you ought not be. And too many times, for fame, the lust of the flesh, the eyes of the pride of life, people have taken their family to a place they never should have been. And they end up leaving some of them behind when God, through his mercy and grace, draws them out and tries to give them mercy and pull them back out. I look across, you say, preacher, you're preaching hard to us tonight. I'm not trying to preach hard. I preach like this because I love you. I love the families of our church. I don't want to see our churches go the wrong way, our church here go in a direction that it ought not go, because the way the families of a church go is the way the church goes. The decisions that happen, this building is not the church. The church is the people that sit inside of it. It's made up of families and people who will live for God and be good salt. And whether we're salty or not is not necessarily always the decision of the pastor. It's the decision in the pew, and the people in the pew decide, hey, we're going to be salt. We're going to live right. We're going to stay out of Sodom. We're not going to look back. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and follow him. Amen. Hey, in our day and age, if we're not careful, we're not the good kind of salt anymore. We're just salty. We're giving bad emotions. We're giving bad things to the world. They say, you know, I remember people looking at Christians when they pulled out the driveway and they see the family smiling and happy and talking to each other as they pulled out and they headed to church to worship God. And it's a good testimony as we pull out of the driveway. But if we're backing out the driveway screaming at each other, arguing all the way to church, it's not a good testimony for the people in the car. Nor everybody else down the street that goes, I don't know where they're headed, but I don't want to go there. Yeah. I'm just telling you, we got to come to a place in this Christian life that we decide that we're going to be good salt. Not just to the people in our home, but to anybody that gets near us. Amen. And it all starts with where we decide to pitch our tent. I'm going to pitch my tent with Jesus. Amen. I'm going to pitch my tent in his church because it's the place that he died for. I'm going to keep and pitch my tent in the King James Bible, in God's Word. And I'm going to stick with it all the days of my life. I'm not going to be looking back to the past and what I could have done, but to the future of what God can still do with me through his mercy and grace. Too many good Christians and families get looking back to what could have been when God could use them right now and for the future if they would just be sold out for him in the now. Hey, you know Lot, he could have left that place and really, really done something for God. You say, well, I know the story of Lot. Yeah, I do too. But you know what? When God delivers us, the worst thing we could do, you know what happened a lot? He went out and got drunk. He didn't turn into salt, but it wasn't too long. He was bad salt too. And if we're not careful, we'll let the terrible things and the destruction that's happened around us and the things we have lost, so-called, turn our eyes off of Jesus Christ when we desperately need to keep our eyes on the Savior and His goodness. You know, I think about what I'm going to get. All the things I could tell you, you know, I could, you know, I've heard people talk about the things they left behind to serve the Lord. And I could stand up here and tell you some things that would make, you know, oh man, I left this behind. Listen, I didn't sacrifice one thing. Amen. Not one thing that God didn't make 10 times better when I sold out for Him. Amen. You say, preacher, that's just for you. No, that's for anybody. Amen. Just like Daniel. Just like any teenager in this building, just like any staff member, if you will sell out wholeheartedly to God and trust Him by faith, your life will get 10 times better just like that. I'm not saying you're going to be a billionaire. I'm not saying that everything that's happened in the past is going to change. But if you look to the future and serve God, God can take your now and He can change your future. So, I mean, listen, there's still time to serve Him. I know He's about to return. I know that our days are short. But what about tomorrow? President's Day. Wouldn't it be great if our president, it was his day of visitation tomorrow? Amen. That some salty Christian that lived in Delaware just would happen by. And the gospel, the good gospel of Jesus Christ would get to a president. It would change our world. How about if one Christian in Haines City or wherever you are, Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever you're doing on your Fix It Up project, that you were salty tomorrow? It could change somebody's world. This guy you're looking at right now, my whole world changed because somebody was salty. And they came by at my grandparents' house and knocked my door and won a 15-year-old boy to Christ. And it spiraled all the way through my, salt took hold. And it salted my whole family. I wouldn't be here tonight, folks, if it hadn't have been for somebody that cared enough to come and salt my town and keep salting in every generation. Amen. And Landmark wouldn't be here if somebody didn't come here and salt this town. Amen. And I don't want to stop being salty. Amen. I don't want this place. Listen, this place was just a podunk town when Pastor Carter came here. And he built a ministry in this place, allowing God to use him and kept himself salty to a place. Now we have a great ministry to reach the world. I mean, not just Haines City, but the world. But I drove the roads today. The world has come to us. And we desperately, not only, listen, we've got all we can do. We'll keep sending the gospel around the world and through the airwaves. But we really need to be salt right where we are. I drove the roads and I passed my people and I thought, I wonder if today is his day of visitation. I knew what I was going to preach tonight. I drove by streets and I drove by cars and I saw people and I thought, I wonder if they're on their way to hell or if somebody has been salty enough to show them Jesus. Amen. Listen tonight, church, my heart is broken for our town. My heart is broken for our young people. And the only way it's going to change is if we get salty enough to do something about it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? The musicians are coming, but don't wait for them. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you step out and come tonight? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, well, we've been preaching to Christians, but if you're here, Jesus has the power to save. He came from heaven and died on the cross and paid for your sin debt. If you'll just step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle and come to the front in this invitation, we'll take the Bible and show you what the Bible says on how you can know that you know that you know that heaven will be your home. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love. trust Him in His presence daily.
Bow your head with me tonight and close your eyes. Would you pray for the lost soul that may be in the building tonight, that they'd step out and come? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, our desire tonight is you would do what many of the people in this building have done. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you'll step out and walk down this old aisle, and you come down and I'll take your hand and we'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved, how you can trust in what Jesus did, what He did for you, and how He paid in Him alone. We ask you to come. As Brother Burt sings and as Christians pray, you step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, me now, I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
If you're here tonight, as the music continues to play, I'd like to ask you to, if you're here and you haven't joined this church, this good church, why don't you step out and come? We'll give you another opportunity. You say, "Preacher, I'd like to join this church, but I've not been baptized." Well, come and get baptized. It's a wonderful picture of what Jesus did for you. Amen? Why don't you step out and come, and we'll give you opportunity to do it as Brother Burt sings.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior holy. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, I hope you did what God asked you to do tonight. If you're here and you didn't get saved tonight, or you really felt like you ought to come down the aisle, why don't you do this after the service is over? Come and take my hand. I'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. I know sometimes it's hard to step out and walk in front of all these people, but you don't have to do that to be saved. You just need to trust Christ. And if you're willing, then I'm willing to take the Bible and show you. So come up to us after the service. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Now, men, we need to get right up to the meeting because some preacher preached way long tonight. Amen. I don't know who that was. Amen. But I know he preached a while. Amen. And I think he preached his heart. I hope you will do. If there's track racks at each door, if you're not accustomed to that, then take some with you. Go to the places you eat and put them on the table. Knock your neighbor's door. Hand it to anybody that you can. And just spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to be good salt. Let's pray together as we're dismissed. Lord, I thank You for Your many blessings, God. I thank You for just, Lord, what You've done in my heart. I pray that You'd help us as a church, Lord, to just be busy for You until You come. Help us, Lord, to get out and to be good salt. Lord, help people to know that we're Yours as we come by them. Our speech, Lord, help it to be what it ought to be. Lord, help us not to get hardened by looking back, but to keep our eyes upon You and serve You till You come. Well, thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think the cord comes.